Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Oh, you're not Dan. You're Mike.
Good morning.
Good evening to
Welcome
you.
Welcome to...
It's Friday upgrade.
Upgrade.
Dan is on assignment.
Yeah.
When last I checked, Dan was on a boat, believe it or not.
Did you not assign this boat for Dan?
This
wasn't your assignment?
I just assigned him. No, actually, his wife assigned him this vacation. But
okay.
It's still an assignment as far as I'm concerned, and he's on it. He was on a ferry boat traveling into the wilderness. And at last check, he was in the wilderness. In fact, I just have Find My, which I can tell you he's surrounded by green on the map. And not a lot of roads, so he's out in the wilderness.
Everyone knows he's in the green. Jason.
Now they can find him. That's right.
Yep.
So no, Dan. You and I were just on a live stream where you disassembled a keyboard.
Yeah. Brutally decapitated a magic keyboard and extracted
all the magic
brains.
You took the magic out.
And
no
its,
more magic.
Sense of touch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I took a Touch ID sensor out of a keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it worked.
And in the end.
In the end, yes. Very much in the end. But in the end, it worked. We got it working. And now I've got to work out what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah. I think, and I know we've talked about this for a long time, but like, I would really like Apple just to make a Touch ID accessory,
yes.
Right? I'll pay $50 or whatever for a Touch ID accessory because you and I both have them. And I know I mentioned this on Six Colors this week. In my 1Password story that I use Touch ID now because I'm in the Apple Silicon future on my desktop. And I do this because I followed your lead and Velcroed a Touch ID magic keyboard to the underside of my desk. So I don't type on it. I don't have to even see it. But I know where the Touch ID button is and I can reach for it and authenticate with my finger. And that's a little bit silly, but that's what I've chosen to do. Now, with the disassembly you did, if you can put that in a case, you're going to create your own little Touch ID accessory, but I would love it if Apple just would make one. Or I've seen some people suggest, or make a magic trackpad that's got a Touch ID button on it. That would also work.
Yeah, I can't believe they haven't done that part. I just sent you a link, the Twitter account, Basic Apple Guy.
Oh yeah, he made a mock for April 1st of
April
the magic
Fool's,
button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they sent it to me. They DM'd me. And they're like, "Oh, look what's happened." They're trying to trick me.
Yeah.
Look, they did it. And I was like, yeah, nice try.
No, I'm no
fool. But I love the design that they did. Like, they actually mocked up the homepage and, like, store ordering pages. But this is what I want at a basic level. It's just a little button.
Right.
But realistically, I don't understand why they haven't just embedded it into a magic trackpad.
A magic trackpad would be a logical thing, right? Because the button is not going to be, I mean, even if they miniaturized it and, like, they made a Bluetooth, it's going to have a battery in it. It gets complicated really fast. I get it. Having seen what you did, I get it. But something like the magic trackpad totally makes sense, right? You could put it in the corner, in a corner, just as a sensor. It would be very nice, and I would buy one of those too because I'm a magic trackpad user. I would go for that.
Me too. I would big time.
Lovely.
I hope they do it because I understand people want Face ID and stuff. Like, I get it. But I think we're a really, 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 really long time away from, like, Max getting Face ID. Like, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So I wouldn't mind them continuing to, like, proliferate Touch ID across different products.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the meantime, you have a thing that you now have to
do something with.
Either integrate into a keyboard or get a... 3D printed enclosure for something.
I know
that.
Enough people in the keyboard world, and there was a couple of people in the chat who I'm going to message after, like, later on today. I reckon I can get something made up to house this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it will be its long-term home. Because what I would ideally like to do is put it in one of my keyboards. But the problem is, as we realized on the stream as we were going through it, It needs to somehow be connected via a lightning cable to work.
Yeah.
Unless you want to go down like a big, much more complicated route of trying to get a Bluetooth antenna attached to it, which I don't really want to do.
Yeah, it seems like...
But it was fun, though.
Not ideal. But a standalone thing, it'd still be a cool thing to do, I think.
great little project.
Yeah.
I'm happy we did that.
Yeah, that was fun. I was glad that I could be there for it.
Thank you for joining me.
Mentioning 1Password. I wrote
when you
about
say
it.
Mentioning 1Password. You mentioned to me 1Password before we start.
No, we mentioned on the podcast that I wrote about it, and I wrote about the little Velcroing under my desk. That was on the podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mentioned it as a side. Yes, people noticed and that I made an aside about 1Password. Where I said I Velcroed a thing under my desk, and they were like, "What? Oh, what a good idea!" And it's like, full credit to Mike. You are how I got that idea of attaching it under my desk.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote this 1Password thing not just to make a reference to the Magic Keyboard Touch ID under the desk thing, but because it's weird. They had contacted me a few weeks ago about 1Password 8 coming out, and they're like, "Oh, we want to get you a beta," and I'm like, "I'm already on the beta." And we want to show you this new feature that we're going to roll out that people haven't seen yet, which is the autofill and the crate. And then I don't think I got any like email from them when they actually shipped it. So I saw a story that was like 1Password 8 is out, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it seemed to come out of nowhere.
So I got around to writing about it. And it's like, I hate to break it to everybody who is just all upset at them. I think the truth is people are all upset at them, not because of them using Electron or anything like that, but because there are people who are mad because they changed their business model to a subscription model with Cloud Sync. Yep. And people who want either to just pay for it or who want local storage can't use the new version because it doesn't support that. I get the anger over that. But in terms of the whole hubbub about them choosing to not use sort of AppKit and throw that native Mac app away and instead build this thing that's built on, you know, Electron. So it's based on web standards and they've got a Rust engine inside that's a cross-platform engine. And the truth is, it's fine. I think it actually looks nice. They did an interface refresh. It's a more simple interface. It's got, it feels like it's got a lot less like shading and chrome and stuff and is nice. It's responsive.
I like it. It looks good. Yeah, it works good. Here's the thing, though, Jason, I think about the 1Password thing. Because what you said about that wasn't even the thing I thought you were going to mention. I think since 1Password took venture funding, people have been waiting for the doom moment.
Right, waiting for them to be abandoned because they've got
I'm not talking about everyone here. You know, like everyone's got their own thing. I'm just saying that what I am seeing more generally is like as soon as that happened, people were like, all right, they're going to do something bad here. And then it's been like everything that they have done has turned into like
this is it.
Big drama.
Here it is. It's happening now, people.
In a way that I think other companies haven't. And like I think about Text Expander, right? Text Expander went to like a subscription service. And I remember that was like a big thing because that was before there were subscriptions. It was like just before Apple introduced subscriptions.
Right.
And I remember it was like a big hubbub, but everybody got used to it and it just moved on. And I think partly because like they didn't take venture funding or anything like that. They just changed the way their business worked. And I think ultimately people were more willing to accept that because it was still the company that they knew. They were just saying, you got to pay us for our software. And really it was like one of the first of those like business model changes, you know, like Fantastical did it, right? And it upset a bunch of people, but ultimately the business model changed. People got used to it. I think it's different with 1Password because they're doing all of those things. So they have changed their business model to be entirely subscription now because the new versions of the app won't allow you to use it as a subscription. Plus they have venture funding. And then it's like every little thing they do annoys people. So it's like you can save like crypto keys inside of it.
Yeah.
Right. But people hear that and they're like, oh, they're into crypto now. And it's like, I think like it's an easy thing to take away. It's just like how you can save SSH keys in it. It's just like a place to save that information that you're not like, you can't like mine for Bitcoin inside of 1Password.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Like
and you hear these stories about people who don't have their password or they had their, you know, something for their crypto compromised or whatever. And it's like, well, if I'm making 1Password, that's a potential use case, just like SSH keys is a potential use case.
And I understand, like, some people, like, just doing anything in crypto kind of means you're endorsing it, and that can be problematic, and et cetera, et cetera. But it's just, like, the point that I'm trying to get across is, I think, like, anything that they do, at the moment is being like heavily attacked in that way, because like people are opposed to or are getting ready to be opposed to their business. So it's like the same of like the way that all of the stuff exploded with the move into Electron, I think was fueled by the fact of they're clearly doing this because of X. And like it probably is the case, right? Like they can no longer, as a company with outside investment, quote unquote, waste money on a Mac development team.
On a Mac only development team, right? Which is part of their argument at the time was we can't just develop for the Mac. And the cross platform, I think what they would have liked to have done was use like Swift UI to build
an
Apple platform
that
thing, and they couldn't get it to work. And so they ended up saying, all right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to build an iOS native app, and then we're going to have this, the same thing that drives Windows and Linux is going to drive the Mac, which is based on this Rust engine that's really fast, and then on top of it, an interface that's built using Electron. And
I mean, they are still using Swift UI on iOS, which that worries me, honestly. I'm concerned about that. I don't know if an app this complicated will sit well with Swift UI, but we'll find out.
We'll find out, and Apple needs to progress Swift UI so that more apps like this. It's funny you mentioned that, though, because that was my other thought about 1Password is I would bet you even that it is in the upper echelon of Electron apps in terms of performance and interface focus, right?
I wouldn't have known.
It is. Not only does it, yeah, it feels real. Well, when I wrote, it was funny, I was looking back at the beta. The beta was so long ago. It was like August of last year they showed their beta for the first time. So it's been a long process. But at the time, I gave them a hard time. I know Casey was complaining about like they lost the kind of fun shaking failed animation, which they put back in. My thing that I gave them a grief for is the thing that I hate about all of these kind of fake Mac apps is you open the preferences window and it's not a real window. It's a fake window inside the one window that contains all of their interface. And well, guess what? In the intervening time, preferences window on 1Password Mac, it's a window. You can drag it around. It's separate from the actual window.
This is the kind of thing that I'm saying, right? Like, I believe, personally, that 1Password without venture funding would have gotten a little bit more slack given to them.
Yes.
No pun intended. When they announced this.
Instead, like, they got Discord. Oh!
Like, people, I think people didn't, like, were not willing to trust that they would do the work to fix any problems. You know, like, I think that there was just a feeling of like, oh, they don't care about us anymore.
People were preparing for the inevitable betrayal, and anything was going to feed into that narrative. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, the truth is Apple's password manager is really nice now. So
yeah. Some people do feel betrayed, and I get it, right? Because there's some things they can't do. Like, because I was saying this on Connected, we were talking about it. I have no doubt that there are some people that can't or won't sync their passwords to the cloud, right? That, like, they either don't want to or they can't. They're not allowed to. And now you, 1Password is kind of leaving you behind. Like, if you don't want to use a syncing service of any kind or, like, an external service of any kind. Like,
and some people can't because of their corporate, like...
They just can't. Yeah. Like, they're just not allowed or they just don't want to. Because, like, here's the thing, like, I have no doubt that 1Password takes every single possible security measure that they can. But, like, my information is leaving my computer.
Yes,
like,
it is.
It is going
even
somewhere.
If it's encrypted, and, even if et cetera, et cetera. It is leaving your computer. And that has two meanings, right? It is somewhere else where you don't know what their policies are. You just have to assume that it's secure because, you know, you don't get to control it. And two, it's leaving your computer in the sense that if you're somewhere... And I mean, I know it's synced and it's cached on your computer and all that, but it is a little bit scary too with the idea that, like, with having your photos be in the cloud, it's like, but I want them here. I feel safer with them here. And I think there's that thought too. I get it. It's not for everybody. And people hate it when business models change because you come to rely on a tool and then it's like having your favorite TV show canceled, right? It's like, or your favorite, I wrote about that the other week, about your favorite product being canceled. The HomePod is not available anymore. My dad's favorite brand of potato chip, right? It's like, oh no.
They're just gone, right? Yeah, yeah.
And I get, like, it's outrageous and it makes people angry. I get it. And changing a business model is like that too. But that said, yeah, it seems like it's a bit much. I the reason I was thinking about going to Apple's thing, and I realized that was a useful thought exercise for me, because what I realized is I don't want to go to Apple's thing because I use all these other 1Password features, especially the fact that I use a shared vault with my wife for all of our, because she also does a bunch of business stuff. We have a huge amount of like business logins and stuff that, and even personal stuff. Like what's the network? I had to change like the Netflix password the other week. And all I did was change it because I know the next time she needs to log into Netflix, she's just going to use that password that's in the vault. Thing.
Like how great, like we, me and Adina have this stuff that we work on together. Obviously, me and Steven do too. But like, you know, like Adina's like, oh, I need the password for whatever. And I just go into 1Password and just move it from my vault to the shared vault.
Yeah,
and now we both have it.
So if you don't need that, that's great. I think it is legitimately great that Apple has finally really embraced the idea of doing a password manager and that it has all that basic functionality. And 1Password still has a reason to exist because of all the stuff that it's built smartly above the that table stakes thing. It's the ultimate story of why Sherlocking is oversold, is that Apple tends to never Sherlock a whole complete product. They take this like base level that they think will appeal to a mass of users and leave a whole, usually at least, leave a whole lot of headroom for differentiation from third parties. And 1Password has done a great job of adding a whole bunch of stuff that it gives me a reason to not use Apple's password manager, even though I think it's great that it exists. So they've been very smart about that.
I think cross promotion for upgrade. We might talk a little bit about that thing that they're doing, that Apple's doing. Well, I haven't looked into it enough yet.
I wanted to mention that because I did link to it today. And Dan wrote a really nice story last June about the WWDC session where they talked about it. And I linked to that because it was a really nice thing that Dan watched that session and tried to distill it down. It's what we do for WWDC stuff. I really like it. We'll do it again this year if I'm not like wandering around talking to people inside Apple Park instead.
We should talk about that in a minute.
It's passkeys and iCloud keychain is what they called it in iOS 15 and macOS Monterey. But it's basically, if you've ever logged into one of Apple's services on a Mac lately, where it doesn't ask you for the password on the website and instead you are basically authenticating on your Mac and your Mac logs you in. This is basically that for everything, that you have devices that are granted authentication power and you don't have passwords anymore. You just have an authentication profile that you provide and everything is cryptographically handled. It's complicated and it's going to take a while to get there. But the idea is to move away from passwords because passwords can be hacked. And so they're just going to not have passwords anymore. At which point your password manager will be less of a thing. So there's another reason why you need to kind of like progress to handle things beyond passwords. And there is a question of like shared logins and stuff like that. And how do you authenticate? And there's a lot going on there. But I think it's really interesting that in the background, while we're talking about 1Password, Apple and Google and Microsoft are all jointly planning this FIDO alliance thing with FIDO and the W3C, World Wide Web Consortium, to make a standard that basically creates passwordless logins. So we don't have to store. It's not just for people like us with password managers. It's also for like my mom who writes all her passwords down on a piece of paper. It's not great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to change my 4-digit passcode on my iPhone.
Okay.
I think that's the thing I'm going to have to do.
Probably.
If now my iPhone's going to be used to authenticate everything in my life, probably a 4-digit passcode isn't great.
Yeah, although I think Apple won't let you do that. I think they are going to want Face or Touch ID to authenticate.
Yeah, I guess, actually.
Like with Apple Pay, right?
Yeah.
You can't just do 1, 2, 3, 4 for Apple Pay.
How did you know my password?
You know, I've known you long enough that I know.
You've been hacking me again?
Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Haha, high security now. You take that. I do know somebody who's a password like that, and it's like,
let's talk about this is, you know, just for the secret for the members, let's talk about WWDC. So Apple have announced that starting on the 9th, right, you can apply, and then by the 12th they will tell people if they can go
right
to Apple Park
for the little keynote camp out.
See the developer center and stuff. They're going to want press to see this too, I'm assuming. That's my assumption. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if there's going to be any upgrade presence.
Oh, well, I don't know. My
WWDC.
Here's my concern. Mm-hmm. So that's the most or second most important day of our year.
Yep.
And so time is precious. Our post WWDC keynote episode that we live stream that we used to do from like a hotel room in person, and the last couple of years we've just done from our chairs, is, I think, one of the most important episodes of Upgrade. I really like being there right afterward to kind of like break it all down, like I do every time there's an Apple event. And I've gotten kind of comfy in not being present at those events, because it used to be
comfy in not starting the recording at 1 a.m.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is it used to be that if we were both there, we would do it at a nearby hotel. But otherwise, I would have to drive home and then call you. And so it would be like 2 or 3 in the afternoon my time. So, you know, 10 or 11 p.m. when we would get started doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not, it's not as timely then as doing the podcast like right in the moment. So my concern, like, I've got a, on the one hand, it would be very interesting to be there if they invited some press there. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if all it is mingling with the invited guests or being taken around by Apple PR to see some invited guests and then watching the keynote on a screen as it's being played for that audience, it's like, that's not good for my coverage of the event to be doing that. So this is my fear, is that, and I, the more I talk about it, I think the more it's going to happen. My fear is that Apple PR is going to want people from the press like me to come to the event and cover it from a sort of human interest standpoint. It's like, that's an interesting story, but oh boy, it's not as important as WWDC keynote is.
Be better if we could do that story on Tuesday than Monday.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's my dream, is that they're like, well, we're gonna have you talk to some executives and all that, and we're gonna have that be in person, but it's gonna be on Tuesday or Wednesday. It's gonna be later in the week we'll do that, and we'll set up some press availability that's separate from this event. But we are gonna invite some press to come and talk to people. Or they could just do it on WebEx like they usually do. But that's, anyway, maybe it won't happen, but I'm not somebody who really likes to turn down Apple when they invite me to do something, but I'm really worried about that one, because the bottom line is that's an interesting kind of human interest story, but it is way down below the importance of the actual content of the event for me.
And so the timeliness.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's both of those things, right? It's me paying attention to the event and then being able to cover it right away. So I don't know what, if I was invited for something like that, what I would do. It's possible I would do something like try to get a hotel room in the general vicinity so that I could cover the event and then have like less of a trip. It would save me an hour and a half or something like that. But I don't know. It hopefully it won't come to that, honestly. I hope I'm not put in this situation. I would love to be at Apple Park at some point this year. But you know, do you invite all those people to Inside the Ring and then don't have the press there to cover this amazing thing that you did? I don't know. It's mysterious. I wonder. And the developer center, right, which is presumably a thing that they're... It's a place on the campus.
It's a place, yeah.
And if that's the case, presumably they're going to want press to see the developer center too. I agree. Tuesday would be a better
if it's day. If it's a thing that actually exists, like an, you know,
if it's a physical,
like a
place
thing that's got something in it, rather than it's just like, oh, we built some conference rooms.
No, I like the idea that it is potentially a, well, even if it is conference rooms, the idea that this is where they take the hermetically sealed off from the rest of Apple place where developers can come to test their stuff on you know, when they announce their VR headset or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. This is a real wrinkle in what we thought was going to be a fairly straightforward replay of the last two WWDCs. So what is this in-person component? And you know, for developers who are interested in going, I mean, it's an awful lot to ask to, with 3 weeks' notice, fly, if you're not in the U.S., especially far away, just to watch some. I mean, you're going to be around other people and stuff, but it's also just like a video watch party on another level. Is that worth it? I don't know.
Again, like I'll mention here, you know, so I've thought about it for me, right? Obviously, the access that we have had, that I've had, has changed a lot over the pandemic. what if they say, hey, come down? Do you want to come over, Mike, and see what we're doing? Like, that's complicated for me, mm-hmm. right? I think even more so, because it's like,
it's a long way to go.
I can't say no to the first one. Right. You know what? It's like complicated. Yeah. It'd be pretty complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have decided like mentally if they ask, I'm coming.
So. Yeah. It's hard not to, but it would be a shame if, you know, if they ask and it ends up being, you know, you and I are just sitting on a towel on the grass watching the keynote. And I mean, that would be fun.
But you know what though? That would be pretty nice though.
Sunny day.
Like, I would take that as a thing.
Sure.
Because then also, because here's the thing, right?
I'll bring a picnic basket.
That, like, we want to do it Monday thing. If that was the case and it was like we had to like go do a thing for an hour or so, like, it would still be easier to record that day.
Right. Well, that's true.
It wouldn't be so late for me.
Yeah. That's true.
You know? So, you know, anyway. That's my hope. It's like, if you get invited and it's like going to become like a whole thing, hopefully I could come too, and then it wouldn't impact the show as hard, I feel.
Yeah, I know for those listening, this is a real behind the scenes, but this is one of the things that we do on this podcast normally, is there's some inside baseball stuff about like, how do you coordinate and logistics and stuff like that. And that's all of my concerns about WWDC this year are about that. It's like, are there going to be wrinkles that mess up the logistics, and how do we work around that? Because in the end, you know, you and I do need to do an upgrade that day, and
super important,
and we need to, and Dan and I need to dive into the WWDC sessions for Six Colors. Like, this is part of what we're doing too, so it's a challenge. They usually have like briefings and stuff, and again, I wonder how much of that is going to be online, or if they're really going to try to get some press to be there in person. It's weird. I don't know what they're going to do. I wonder, I have a theory. I'm going to share it with you now, even though we're probably going to draft about this at some point, but there's no harm in me having this theory now, which is I have a theory that when they do the live stream on that Monday morning, that it will actually start with live.
Oh, I've said that before.
Oh, have you?
Like, I think...
Yeah, it'll be
Tim
live.
Comes out.
Tim comes out.
Intros
it live in front of that developer thing, and then throws to the video.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's.
I don't
the stage
know
craft.
Why else you would do it unless you're going to do that personally. Right? Like, it just seems weird to me.
Right.
I think because as well. Like, here's the thing, right? If you've asked these developers to come out, you get a kick out of Tim coming out on stage, right? Like. Yeah. And it's not like you can't do this. Like, you know how to do this. Like, this is very easy for you technologically to make that work.
Challenge is that, like doing baseball or something else, they can't preload their CDN with the entire program, right? Because it's live, that moment.
Although they always play videos during these things, ads and stuff like that.
That's true, and they've done the video. They've done the keynote live so many times that doing a portion of it live and then playing video for most of it is something they've done before. Yeah. So they could do it again. Yeah, I think it makes the most sense, because then they're going to be like, oh, it's actually live, and there's look at the people who are there at Apple Park, and now we're gonna, you know, now I'm gonna throw it, and basically it's the Tim segment, right, at the beginning and the end. That part is live.
Oh, and I could totally imagine them like. In between segments, like cutting to the audience and seeing them clap, and then they move to the next segment. Like, so they try and find a way to.
Oh, yeah. Like you dissolve back to seeing the audience watching the video as it's playing.
For all we know, it could be like 250 people, right? Like, there's no idea of how many people. Yeah. And I expect it's probably going to be
pretty small,
sizable, right?
I think it's going to be pretty small.
In that way. No, but like I could imagine 200, and that seems sizable to me.
I don't think it's going to be like 1,000 people, but yeah.
No. But like
in
the hundreds.
Yeah.
You know? And so like that's going to look good if they set it up right. And like we don't even know where it's going to be. Like it could be in Steve Jobs' theater. We don't know, right? Like nobody
My understanding is that it's outside, but that's just, I only heard that from a couple of sources. Nothing's been announced.
Nope.
I keep thinking that there may be a parallel press event that is in the Steve Jobs Theater, but I don't know. It's really hard to judge, and you know, we're a month away now.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It's a month from today. In fact, it's June 6th and it's May 6th now. There's a lot of COVID in the Bay Area right now.
Is there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure they, even if they were toying with the idea of doing something like having some vaccinated and tested press in, and you're going to have to pass a test to be wherever this group is going, right? They said 72-hour test. Yeah. Not the best time, actually, right now. A little bit of a COVID spike happening in the Bay Area right now. So, I mean, in a month, maybe it'll be different. But I don't know. Their ways are mysterious. That's just how it is. Well, Mike, thanks for sitting in for Dan this
time.
Always
a pleasure.
Boat.
Always a pleasure.
Dan Boat, Captain Dan from
Captain
the SS.
Dan out in the green.
Yeah, he's in the green now. He's left the boat behind. He's in the trees. In the rain.
Watch out around the trees. Dan might jump on
Dan you. Might scare you. It's true.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, Dan will be back next week, I'm sure. And then you and I will talk on Monday on Upgrade.
We'll do.
But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.